In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's say this prayer three times. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may live it and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we will continue with the writings of Luisa Picaretta referring to Adam, the Book of Adam. I think we are in 96.
Entry number 96, volume 28, April 23rd, 1930. Daughter of my divine volition, I want to make known to you all the details with which man was created, to make you understand the excess of our love and the right of our fiat to reign in him. You must know that in the creation of man, our divine being was in the condition of necessity of love, of loving him, because everything that we gave him did not remain detached from us, but transfused in us. This is so true that breathing into him, we infused life into him, but we did not detach our breath from that which we created in him. Rather, we allowed his breath be identified with ours in such a way that as man breathed, we felt and feel his breath in ours. If our fiat, the word, if our fiat created the word in the act of pronouncing it upon man's lips, the word did not remain detached. This was a great gift given to him from our divine volition. If we created in him love, movement, and step, this love remained bonded with our love, our movement, and the communicative virtue of our steps remained in his feet. So, we felt man inside of us, not outside of us. Not the sun from a distance was he, but near, rather fused with us. How could we not love him if he was ours and if his life was in the continuation of our acts? Not loving him would be going against the nature of our love. And then, who is it that does not love that which is his own and which has been formed by him? Therefore, our Supreme Being found itself and even now finds itself in the situation of the need to love man, because man is still even now the one created by us. We feel his breath in ours. His word is the echo of our fiat. We have not withdrawn all of our goods. We are the immutable being, nor are we subject to change. We loved him and we love him. And this love of ours is so great that we ourselves put ourselves in the condition of the need to love him. That is the reason for our so many stratagems of love. And for the last assault, it is wanting to give him the great gift of our fiat. so that he might make it rain in his soul. Because without our volition, man feels the effects of his life, the life of our fiat, but does not perceive the cause. And therefore, he is not concerned with loving us. Instead, our divine will make him feel the cause, who it is that gives him life. And then even he will feel the need to love he who is the primary cause of all of his acts and who loves him so much. Then I was continuing my rounds in creation, and my always amiable Jesus added, "My daughter, do you see what order there is in the creation of all the universe? There are skies, stars, suns, all in order. Even more so in the creation of man, our divine being extended the order of our divine qualities in the depth of his soul like many skies. Therefore, we extended the sky of love in him, the sky of our goodness, the sky of our sanctity, of our beauty, and so on with all the rest. And after having extended the order of the skies of our divine qualities, our fiat in the vault of these skies constituted itself sun of the soul. And with its light and heat, by reflecting in him, he was to grow and conserve our divine life in the creature. And as our divine qualities point at our supreme being, thus these skies extended in man indicate that he is our dwelling. Who can tell you the way and the love with which we delighted in creating man? Oh, if he knew who he is, what he possesses, oh, how much more would he esteem himself, and how careful he would be not to stain his soul. And he would love you, he who created him, with so much love and grace. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. This is a very long passage. Let's try to understand this passage. To remind you that when we read all these passages concerning the life of Adam before the fall, we also try to understand the gift of living in the divine will in a general way. This is another way to understand the whole science of living in the will of God. And in this particular passage, our Lord tells Luisa Picarreta why the necessity of these writings, why the necessity for us to know in detail the way Adam lived before the fall. The Lord says, I want to make known to you all the details with which man was created. And immediately he gives the reason why, to make you understand the excess of our love and the right of our fiat to reign in us, basically, now. So he wants, the necessity of these writings is for us to know basically who God is and who we are. And when our Lord gives these writings to Luisa Picarreta, in these writings, we have also to understand that Luisa Picarreta is not the author of these writings. We have to understand that the author of these writings is our Lord Jesus himself. So this is one of the characteristics also of private revelations, that when our Lord reveals this knowledge about the divine will, specifically to Luisa Picarreta, he is the author of these writings. It's not Luisa. Luisa is the instrument. We can mention other private revelations such as the Divine Mercy with Sister Faustina. Sister Faustina also is the instrument that our Lord uses to reveal that private message, that private revelation concerning the mercy of God, which is one of the attributes of God. We can mention no others, but when our Lord Jesus reveals in a private revelation this knowledge, specifically in Luisa Picaretta, we know she's the depositary of this divine science, and her mission is to be the instrument, to be the channel, the mediator, so that our Lord Jesus uses her. And when I say uses, it's not without her consent, it's with her consent. Then why the necessity of these writings? So that all the human race may understand the excess of love that God has for all of us. If you remember the novena, the Christmas novena, each one of the days, Luisa Picaretta is narrating that it's an excess of love. How much love God has for the human race. We can also say that all creation, each one of the acts of creation, as we see in the book of Genesis, when God begins creating out of nothing, yes, by his will, let it be light, and everything comes. That's an excess of love that God has for the creature, because before creating everything, he's thinking in the one who is coming, and the one who he has in mind is his son Adam, and in Adam all of us contain, all the human race contain. So that's an excess of love. So when our Lord Jesus mentions here why the necessity for him to narrate and to describe to Luisa Picaretta this the life of Adam before the fall, is so that he gives the answer, so that we make understand the love that he has for all the human race. I think it's in the prophet Isaiah that through him God says, even if a mother forgets her child, I will never forget you. Talking about the chosen people, and in that we know that salvation is not only for the chosen people, but they are also the instruments through which the message of salvation is being given to all of us. So that's one part of these writings that our Lord wants us to write, to read these writings, to understand what is being said here, so that we may understand and we may come to our senses and understand who God is. And in this, we may be able to fulfill our duty as creatures. I think it's in every Mass. When we go to Mass, and in the preface, when the priest says, lift up your hearts, we lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to our God. And we say, it is right and just. Then we continue reading, it is truly right and just. It's our duty and our salvation to give you glory always and everywhere. It's the duty of the creature to give glory to God, right? Even in the Gloria, we praise you, we adore you, we glorify you, we thank you. So this is what us creatures are supposed to do. In that way, we correspond to God. And then when our Lord Jesus continues narrating, and he mentions that in creation, men possess basically the very breath of God, that when he says, you must know that in the creation of man, our divine being was in the condition of necessity of love, of loving him. Because everything that we gave him did not remain detached from us. And then he mentions the word, but transfused in us. Together. That basically the breath that God infused in Adam, it was God palpitating, breathing through the heart of Adam. He chose basically to breathe, to palpitate in that way. And that was the relationship that God had with Adam. And that was the relationship that we were supposed to have. God living always in us, palpitating in every moment. We allow his breath be identified with ours in such a way that as man was breathing, we felt and feel his breathing in ours. Our fear created the world in this act of pronouncing, let it be. But in us, he remained breathing, palpitating in every one of us. That's why when our Lord Jesus mentions to Elizabeth Carreta how to unite ourselves with his will, is that at every moment we have to have that desire. And in the morning when we get up, as soon as we open our eyes, is to have that intention to give that permission to the will of God to continue palpitating, breathing in us. At every moment, basically, in creating man, the divine will allow Adam to be that channel through which all his attributes basically just were flowing through him. Because when he talks about love, love is one of the attributes of God. God is love. His love, right? So he allowed love to flow through that channel, Adam. He allowed beauty, all that God is. So that's why he was growing in the likeness, because he was receiving directly from God all those rays of love, of beauty, everything that God is, so that man was growing in at every single moment in the likeness of our Heavenly Father, of who God is. So becoming the reflection of his creator, basically. Becoming the reflection of his creator, of his maker. And this is what we are supposed to let happen in our souls. And everything begins in baptism and continues with all the sacraments. And all of them, they are met to transform us, to make us more like God. Through this divine science, through the science of living in the divine will, now we find the way in which God gives us this knowledge so that we may learn how to be fused in his will, to let his divine will flow in us, so that what was happening in Adam before the fall may continue in us. So basically he continues his creation in all of us. But where this creation happens? In the soul. Remember when he created everything that is in creation, all the acts of creation, he pronounced each one of them, and they are fixed in the will of God. All creation is fixed in the will of God. They continue its course. The sun continues to do what the sun is supposed to do. And all the elements, they continue to go and to form that a cycle that is that they have, and they remain. That's why the Lord says they cannot remain detached from Him. But in man, He was breathing, palpitating. He's able to express love through each one of us, and to grow those attributes, to grow in us according to our capacity, and also according to our dispositions, that we let the divine will grow in each one of us. All those acts of God, right, flowing through us now. We know that Adam, as Adam was created in that union of the divine will, he was supposed to remain faithful in that union. That was his test, to remain in that unity of the divine will, so that, as our Lord says, that the communicative virtue of the divine will, meaning the divine will communicating at every moment new knowledge to Adam, new things about God, new wonders about God. That's why he was growing in at every moment. And when our Lord mentions that communicative virtue of the divine will, and he mentions that our steps remain in his feet, all of that. So he was able to communicate, basically to allow all that God is, all the attributes of God, little by little, they were flowing through Adam. Adam was the channel, and he was supposed to be filled with those attributes a little by little, and to grow in that likeness and become again a reflection of his maker. That's what it means to grow in the likeness of God. We're supposed to grow at every moment, and this is what we are called to do. Still, we are called to do now. When we discover all of this in the writings of Lisa Picaretta, we come and we drink from these writings, basically. There is a fountain of knowledge, and we learn how to allow ourselves to be also enraptured by that divine will, and to let the divine will now continue to operate in all of us, moment by moment. When the Lord says that we did, he says, we felt men inside of us, not outside. Right? And then he mentions the word fuse with us, one with us, basically. What made him one with him? The divine will, this unity. Because there is only one will in God. That's why through the divine science also we are able to understand the mystery of the Blessed Trinity, that God is one, three divine persons, but is one God, three persons. Why? Because seeing God, there is only one will. We know that in the person of our Lord Jesus, in his humanity, he possessed a human will, because he took on our humanity. He was really a human, but he was also really and truly divine. Now, our Lord Jesus, now he doesn't possess his humanity anymore, as he possessed it when he walked in the time that he lived in. Now he possesses a glorified body, a glorified humanity, if you wish. What does it mean that in this humanity now, is he's able, he's not able to suffer anymore as he will suffer in his humanity, right? Even the Book of Wisdom gives us a glimpse of this. It says the souls of the just are in the hands of God, and not torment, shall touch them anymore. It was in the book of Genesis that we encountered that God said, let us make man in our image and likeness, and that Adam was formed out of clay. And when we read in the book of Wisdom about going back to the hands of God, the soul going back to the hands of God. So our Lord Jesus doesn't possess his humanity anymore. He possesses a glorified body. He possesses a glorified body. But now, since he doesn't possess a humanity anymore, he needs your humanity, my humanity, so he can continue operate in us, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church says in 2860, when the Catechism mentions about the third petition of the Our Father and what does it mean when we pray the Our Father and we ask for that petition. The Catechism says in the third petition, we ask our Father to unite our will to the will of his Son so as to fulfill his plan of salvation in the life of the world. So this idea of uniting ourselves to the will of God is already contained in the Our Fathers, and the Church explains it in the Catechism in number 2860. So in this way, we understand also the divine science given to us through the writings of Luisa Picaretta, how our Lord Jesus, by praying that prayer, is already praying for the gift that Adam lost to be given to us again. But he needed to complete all the reparation that needed to be done, all the reconciliation, because remember, after the fall, everything was disrupted. Everything was disrupted. So he needed to come and become one like us to repair, basically, to repair us and to pay to the fathers. So that's what we see on the cross. We see that humanity now being that it surrenders to God the Father. The rebellious human will now goes back in sacrifice and sacrifice in sacrifice. And in the person of our Lord Jesus, he's opening the door for all the human race to go back to the Father. So even though we see that on the cross, that is a tragedy, is the triumph of our Lord Jesus. Our Lord is triumphant on the cross. Why? Because he's bringing all the human race back to the Father, allowing us to go back to the Father so that we may continue now. We may be able to continue what was taken from us by the fall of Adam. So when we now fuse ourselves with the will of God, basically we are allowing it, we are allowing the will of God to continue doing in us what the divine will was doing in Adam, what the divine will was able to complete in the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the person of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And that's why also the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that everything that our Lord Jesus lived, he allows it. He allows me to live in him and he in me. It's 521 of the Catechism. All of this, even in the Gospel, he tells the disciples, remain with me. And so many other passages where he mentions about doing the will of God, that his nourishment is to do the will of God, right? That his bread is to do the will of God, and that he came to do the will of the one who sent him, the will of the Father. Why? Basically, because during all his life, our Lord Jesus remained fused with the will of God by nature. The Blessed Mother, by grace, prevenial grace that was given to her to be able to fulfill her mission in the person of Adam and Eve, this was natural. It was a gift given to them. And had Adam remained faithful, then he will be able to just give it to all his descendants in a natural way. But because he lost that gift, now we encounter the opposite. But now through these writings of Luisa Picarreta, our Lord Jesus gives to the church, gives to all the human race, now the knowledge to learn how to fuse ourselves in his will, that now is not going to be by nature, as our Lord Jesus possessed it, not as Adam possessed it, but now it is by way of surrendering our human will and willingly wanting to live in this way. So now creating the disposition in us, which the sacraments, they dispose the soul to receive this gift. When we read this knowledge that we encounter, they dispose our soul also. The knowledge dispose our soul to receive this gift. And a little by little, as we do our prevenient act, our actual act, all of that is helping us to grow in that likeness so that we may remain fused in his will. So that's what our Lord wants with all of us. He wants to operate in us. He doesn't want to remain apart. And this is what the Holy Spirit does in us. It's continuously working in us as we allow the Holy Spirit to operate in us. And we know that the Holy Spirit is present in all the sacraments. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit to complete the work of creation that was disrupted in the fall of Adam. So this is what all the gift is about, that God wants us to live in this way, that he wants to elevate us to the point of origin. So this is what the divine will, the revelation given to Luisa Picarreta is leading us, that we may understand that without this gift we are basically incomplete, and that God wants to return this gift to all of us now. Now is the time. All the preparations have been done, and our Lord Jesus has decided that this is the time for us now to receive this gift through Luisa Picarreta and to learn how to be fused in his will moment by moment. When our Lord Jesus mentions here that he says, we feel his breath in ours. His word is the echo of our fiat. We have not withdrawn all our goods. We are the immutable, the unchangeable being, not subject to change. We know that God is the same always. He doesn't change. He continues to love us. Even though Adam didn't remain faithful, he continued all this love that he had for Adam at the beginning. He still has that love for all of us. His love has not changed because he's unchangeable. And it is exactly his love that has caused, his love for us that has caused him to send his only begotten son. This is what sacred scripture tells us. See how much God loves us, the love of God the Father, that he sent his only begotten son to the world. And then our Lord Jesus also, there is no greater love than to lay your life for others. And he laid down his life for all of us so that we may be reconciled with the Father, because he knows that the love that God the Father has for all of us. And in that love that he has for all of us, and God the Father sends his son to rescue us, And our Lord Jesus, by dying for all of us, allows us to go back to him. So he is the reconciliation. In him we have been reconciled. But that's not all. The story has not ended. The story ends when each one of us, we arrive to the possession of the will of God operating in all of us. Then the work of creation will be fulfilled in each one of us. So we have this knowledge given to Luisa Picarreta, and through these writings, now we understand even the catechism. There is a passage in the catechism that tells us about Adam and Eve in paradise. It says the first man was not only created good, but was also established in friendship with his creator and in harmony with himself and with the creation around him. And then this last sentence is very important. It says, in a state that will be surpassed only by the glory of the new creation in Christ. One of the priests, when I read this passage, he asked me, what does it mean that the state that Adam and Eve possessed before the fall will be surpassed by the new glory or by the new creation in Christ? And he told me, I don't understand that passage. It doesn't make sense to me that what Adam possessed will be surpassed now by the new creation in Christ. It's very simple. Because when God created, you have to look outside all the work of creation. You have to go to the book of Genesis and see the account of creation. And you see there is only one sun, one moon. You see the elements and all of that. And everything is already fixed in God's will. There will not be another sun, another moon. One sun is enough for the whole system. Right? And what the church basically saying there, and now we understand it through the book of heaven, is that every single act that you do, God is able to create, to continue his creation, but now in the soul of man. And in volume 22, when our Lord Jesus allows Luisa Picarreta to see Father Anibal, Father Anibal explains to Luisa Picarreta that he says that he's so enchanted and he's so happy because now he's able to see that every act that he was doing, every act was changed into a light, the sun. So of course, what God can do in the soul will surpass what is outside in creation. That's one way to understand it. So again, look at the example of the sun. There is only one sun up there. And it's able to to do all the effects upon the earth and all the things that causes to grow one sun only. But in us, he is able to deposit as many or to create as many suns, to deposit as much light, as many acts you allow him to do in you, that they are transformed, even though they are human. He's able to transform them into divine and then to create all of this, to continue his work of creation. Now he wants to continue his work of creation, but now in the soul of men. So that man now is able to be filled with all his love, with all that God is, beauty, all his attributes. And that's why he mentions to be transfused in him. So that we may be able to be filled with this light that comes from God and that contains all these different attributes, that at one time we may be able to be just lost in God, fusing God totally. So when God says he's unchangeable, immutable, his love has not changed. And he says, we put ourselves in the condition of needing love. But where does he want to deposit that? Where does he want to reign? In the soul. It's in the soul of man that he wants to continue that. So that he wants to make all of this known, to give us the cause to love him. To love him and to continue that communication, communicating to us all that he is. And in that communication, we grow. And how will that happen? Now, through our fusing in the divine will. How do we fuse ourselves in the divine will? Very simple. We invite the divine will to come and operate in us. Also, in this passage, we see that Luisa Picarreta, she's already practicing what she has learned. We are in volume 28. This passage comes from volume 28. So Luisa Picarreta is being formed in the divine will. She understands what does it mean to live in the possession of the divine will. She's been confirmed in the possession of the gift operating in her. So now she continues. She goes over and over. And I think this is one of the, through her writings, we see that she does this all the time. This is part of her daily routine now, to go around creation and to correspond. Not only that, but also the acts of redemption and sanctification. But in this particular passage, she talks about going around in the rounds of creation. So this is part also of our learning, that when we go around in the acts, doing the acts of creation, we dispose ourselves also to be filled with that same love that God had when he was creating the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything that exists in creation. So he's able to give us that love and to deposit that love now in us. And that's the way the first person, the Blessed Trinity, wants to communicate his love to us. Each one of them in a different way, they want to communicate and make known their love for us individually also. And this is the way God the Father wants us to know his love. And whenever we go around creation, doing the rounds of creation, he's able to deposit this love that he had when he was creating everything that exists. Then when we go around and we do follow the acts of redemption, we allow the second person of the Blessed Trinity to deposit in us that same love that he had when he was suffering, when he was doing all the acts to redeem us. And the same with the Holy Spirit. So as we, this is how we grow in the knowledge and understanding of living in the divine will, and how we allow ourselves to let the divine will operate in us, so that we may advance in this way of living by making all of these rounds part of our daily routine, basically part of our spiritual life. There is a beautiful There is a beautiful prayer that sometimes I use to do the rounds too. And this is the Canticle of Creation of Saint Francis of Assisi. That is beautiful. If you look at it, it's all divine will, even though he didn't possess the complete knowledge of what does it mean to live in the divine will. This is another way of proving also that this is what our Lord Jesus wants, and he has given this way of living to the saints a little by little. He has given them glimpses. Why? Because when we are go around creation, we correspond, we adore God. In the Canticle of Creation of Saint Francis of Assisi begins something like this: Most High, All Powerful, Good Lord, you are praised. May the glory, the honors, and all blessings be to you alone, Most High. To you we belong, and no man is worthy even to mention all the works of creation. But may you be praised in the sun, in the moon, in the stars. And it goes like this. May you be praised in the fire, in brother fires, through the light of the night. And it goes around creation. But it's only a way that these are prayers that we can incorporate also. It's part of the church and it's part of the teachings of the church. But you see how these prayers of the saints, they are also filled with this divine science already. Praise be you, my Lord, through our sister, Mother Earth, who sustains and governs us and who produces fruits with colors and flowers and herbs and all of this. So giving thanks for having created all these things out of love for us. This is what he tells us. My daughter, do you see what order there is in creation in all the universe? Why? Because God is order. Remember that even the Catechism tells us that there was harmony between creation and between men. Creation was to serve men. Everything was done for us, out of love for us, is Catechism of the Catholic Church, 358. And we are made for God. Therefore, we extend the sky of love in Him. This is exactly, basically, the explanation of 374 in the Catechism. How the glory that Adam possessed before the fall will be surpassed by the new creation in Christ. Well, because he will continue to extend now his love in our soul. The love that he had when he was creating the sky, he's now able to extend it in us, in our soul. He's able to deposit that love in us. As he was created, now he's able to extend the sky of his love in us, the beauty and everything in all the divine qualities, which is the divine attributes, being deposited now in the valve of the soul. Now in the soul, because it's in the soul that he wants to have his kingdom, his reign. Remember that in the seventh day he rested in the soul of man. Now he wants to continue his work of creation now in the soul of man, extending his love in our soul, because our soul is the place, the rightful place that belongs to God. So then in the last paragraph, our Lord says, referring to Adam, that in that reflection of basically of Adam becoming the reflection of God in that way of living, Adam was supposed to grow. This is referring to Adam. He was to grow and conserve, to maintain our divine fiat, right? And all our divine qualities as our divine qualities point our supreme being. Thus, these skies extended in man indicated that he is our dwelling. Again, the idea that God extending, continuing his work of creation now in the soul. So we can say that the work of creation was done once for all and is fixed already, and it will remain there till the end of the world. But the work of creation that God wants to continue in each one of us has no end. It will have an end until the day we die. And he wants us to allow him to continue that work of creation in our souls. Again, it begins in baptism. And through this divine science, our Lord wants us to allow him, by understanding what Adam was supposed to possess and what our Lord has restored now through his death and resurrection, understanding now this divine science, he wants us to allow him to continue that work of creation in our souls, extending these skies in our souls. So if we understand this, if men will understand this, that he wants to continue, that God wants to continue his work of creation in our souls, then we will be able, or we will allow him to continue in us. And with so much love, we will embrace this divine science. But it is because we don't understand it. And sometimes if we don't understand this with the teaching of the church, it can be seen that this is something impossible, that this is not real. These writings are not really in accordance with what the church has been teaching, and that they are not in accordance with the scripture. But if you see that these writings, they make perfect sense when we read them also in union with the catechism, then you see that there is harmony in these writings, the writings of Elizabeth Carreta and sacred scriptures. We know that sacred scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we know that the author of these writings is not Luisa Picarreta, is our Lord himself. So we should be able to understand these writings with no problem when we read this in this way. And they are very easy to understand if we connect them with the catechism and what the church has already said to us in different councils. So that's what our Lord Jesus wants for all of us, to understand this divine science. Why? So that we may go back, because he wants to bring us back to the point of origin. We have departed from the point of origin in which we were created, in which we were constituted by God himself. Now, these writings is the call of God to come back to the place, the purpose for which we were created. And our purpose is to love God, to adore him, to return to him in an act of adoration, praise and glory, everything that he has done for us. So let's finish with the letter of Luisa Picarreta tonight before